song, while the billows roll, while the storms come, you know you've got me, an anchor. But
you're not talking about me. You're talking about the
I'm
Lord.
The Lord. Sure. Absolutely. And so I was saying, okay, Lord, then when things come along in my life where I feel like I've lost something of great value to me, he says, that's your flesh. That's your flesh that's saying you've lost a great thing, because I'm always here. The things that are eternal, the things that are spiritual, will always be with you. And I learned a new concept there, Darren, to tame. Loss means to lose means to tame. 1150. Also, it means reversal. Loss itself.
Now, I need to be sure and point out that number that you just gave is a Strong's reference number,
right?
Yes,
I said that, yes.
You did say that, okay.
Yes.
I wasn't paying attention.
And then the word loss comes from the Hebrew 7674, which means to cease, suffer lack, take away, interruption. Those are things that we sense in the flesh when something happens, and it is detrimental. But remember, Darren, like you said, God is there, and the things of the future that he has planned for you are much greater than those things that you think you've lost in the past.
You know, sometimes God has to absolutely rip something out of our hands that's not on the long run good for us.
That's right.
And all we can see is a short sight. You know, we're saying, now, why in the world did that happen? Oh, Lord, why did this happen? And we start gritching around. And one day you really liberated me when you said, Darren, you are not my source. God is my source. You know, I think if husbands knew that and their wives knew that, that their wife had to depend on the Lord working through their husband, but when push comes to shove, the husband is not the source. God is the source.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we put unfair, I want to say, boundaries or restrictions on a person by trying to guarantee the impossible. And that's something else I learned from you.
Yes.
In my past, I tried to guarantee the impossible. Mm-hmm. Well, if you stop and think about it, how can you guarantee the impossible? If it's impossible, it can't be guaranteed.
That's right. I mean, no way.
But sometimes I think we need to sit down and we need to look at our losses and ask the Lord, help me to see this through your eyes. What's going on here? Did you have anything to do with this? And if you didn't cause it, how can I get through it?
Mm-hmm.
And God will help you.
Well, do you know what Webster says about loss? And this is really interesting. I looked up in your old Webster dictionary. This is Noah Webster's original dictionary.
The big old thick thing.
The big old thick thing.
You don't ever drop on your foot and break your foot.
And besides saying defeat or waste or to be in a state of uncertainty, and that's what loss brings to us. It almost is a wind shear. When we lose something, we're going, oh, what's happening? I can't do anything. I can't move. I can't breathe. I can't. And there have been times, Darren, especially after severe loss, I have felt like I couldn't breathe. I felt like I was suffocating because there was such a state of uncertainty. But Webster says every loss is not a detriment. And I'm so glad he put that in the dictionary under loss. He said every loss is not a detriment. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, losing bad company. Okay, say, for instance, you grew up with a wrong crowd and they're all your friends and you've lived on the same block, but they're bad influence on you. And you lose them. You walk away from them. That's good, because God wants you to gain ground in the spirit, and you got to get rid of some of those friends sometimes.
Let me tell you, one of the reasons you do is they remember your identity when you were a bad person,
mm-hmm.
or when you were doing dumb things, or
yes.
when you were
yes.
participating in immorality or perversion or drunkenness or gambling or whatever, and you're trying to make a decision to get out of that old loop, mm-hmm. you may have to move, because your old friends are not moving along the same rate you are. And there have been times when I've seen great changes come in my life, and I'm not putting down the people that were around me, but God says, you know, all of a sudden you're a jet airplane and they're still flying like a Piper Cub,
mm.
and there's no way they can understand you or fly along with you. They're not equipped right now to do that. Not that they couldn't be someday, but here you're taking off and you're looking back. And if you've been in an airplane, you go up and all of a sudden you lose perspective of what it was like on the ground.
Yes.
And you look around, you look down, and you know you're moving at a very high rate of speed and whatever. That's not to say you're off on some pride kick, but it's just true. And sometimes we try to make these things mesh together, and they're not going to mesh together.
Yes,
and you have to change.
That's right. And it's the so with bad habits too, Darren. Some of you have grown up your family has been drinking, or your family, there's been a lot of cigarette smoking in your family, and you've grown up in that atmosphere, and God wants you to go on to bigger and better heights in the spirit. You got to let go of some of those bad habits. And loss is sometimes getting rid of that thing that's the most familiar to you. It has become part of you, part of your identity. And Darren, we've got to say bye-bye. We've got to say so long to those things.
You know, I met a circuit court judge in Bend, Oregon by the name of Walter Edmonds, and I interviewed him one time and sat down and I spent quite a bit of time with him. He said, occasionally I'll see a young man in my courtroom and I'll say, you know, if I don't send him up the river and help him break these old habit patterns and the old connections and the old friendships and so on, he said he won't be rehabilitated. He said, I have intentionally sent them to prison to do that, to break that. And I'll tell you, he's a great man. He said, one time I realized after I'd sentenced a young man that I had done it wrongly. He's a great man. He called the man back to his court and resentenced him. And he said, you know, I publicly admitted I made a mistake. The sentence was wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that we need to look at it and say, now, what has this loss caused me to do? It may cause me to change my focus. It may cause me to change my values. Maybe I had the wrong value structure going.
Yes.
Maybe I was into greed and I put all of my time and all my money and all my assets and resources into making some business fly, and the thing blew up in my face.
Oh, and haven't you? We both experienced
yes,
that.
Yes, I mean, we have.
We have. And remember the time, I remember this quote by Walt Disney. I was shocked. Here's his quote. I was shocked when I realized that I was bankrupt $4 million. I didn't realize that I had that opportunity to have $4 million, you know? And look at what that man achieved. In his life, he looked defeat right in the face. He looked loss right in the face, and he went ahead and gained new ground because he didn't look back.
One of the things, Barb, I think you're right, and I believe one of the things that Walt did there was to sit down and say, okay, what have I learned here that I don't want to do again?
Yes.
You know? And I think if we take the positive look at loss, we sit down and say, all right, now what asset am I left with? I'm not talking here about money. I'm talking about, what have I learned in this
yes.
thing? Now, if we don't sit down and we take some positive learning experience here and put a value on that, then maybe the loss has been a total loss because we're there saying, oh, there's no hope for me. You know, I made bad decisions, or the market went down, or the stocks went crazy, or, you know, whatever it is. Or I had a thief working for me in my company. Well, I don't believe it's all over. I don't care if you're 90 years old. And you think, well, my goodness, I've been on Social Security 25 years. There's no hope for me. That's wrong.
Yes.
That's wrong.
Well, look at Walt. His best, you talk about best asset. You know, you sit down and you evaluate, you look at what's going on here. Walt's best asset was as an illustrator. He was an illustrator. He wrote cartoons. He took the loss and he turned it around to become a multimillionaire because he took Little Mickey Mouse and he rewrote Mickey Mouse and did all these wonderful, wonderful illustrative movies that we still watch those movies with our children today, Darren. And look at Colonel Sanders. Here he was, 69 years old. He was broke. He was broke. His whole life looked like one big loss. He took his best asset. What could he do? He could fry chicken. And he had a secret recipe that, you know what, today has not been divulged to the public. It's still a secret recipe. I'm amazed after all these years. But Colonel Sanders took that recipe and he went door to door with something he knew the people liked. He could sell chicken. And look what's happened.
You know, I heard a funny thing about his story, and sometimes he took things into his own hands, but one of his competitors was taking his signs down.
I know.
He took a shotgun after him.
I know, and he shot him.
He shot him. I thought, well, you know, I'm not sure I'd recommend that, but I'm telling you, folks, if you let, and some of you have taken the label, I am a loser, and I'm telling you something, that is sin, S-I-N. And if you bought the lie from the devil that it's over, over, over for you, maybe you need to get up today and just flat out repent and say, Lord, I've been into self-pity. I've accepted this thing as it being a permanent defeat, and I've been lazy and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Why don't you burn that label? I mean, if you put it on your forehead, get rid of it. If it's on your business card, get rid. I mean, you hear what I'm saying. Get it out of your identity. Get it out of your conversation. Get it out of your future.
You give us some affirmations. You know, I'm not a loser.
You want some affirmations?
Yeah, I know. Okay. We haven't talked about this, but if you've got some, if you want to think about it for a little bit, we can go on.
I've probably already thought about it a lot more than I should have.